This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan. O one who sleeps, stand up and declare the oneness of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome to the philosophy of fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, his last prophet and messenger. As always, we have Dr. Atham Al-Haddad joining us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for joining us in the studio again today.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah.
Well, Doctor, we're on a long journey together, discovering, you know, basically the virtues of fasting. I want to take this time and opportunity today to talk about the virtues of fasting in Ramadan. Now, and the ethics behind specifically Ramadan, because this is the holy month.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. There are a number of virtues for fasting in particular in Ramadan. However, if you may allow me to say that as we are talking about the philosophy of fasting,
okay,
this is our main concern in this program, or the wisdom,
yes,
the philosophy of Sharia in general. The question that comes, why did Allah Jalla wa'ala choose Ramadan?
Of course.
Okay. And as we are addressing people who might be living in non-Muslim societies, I would like to focus on this point.
Excellent.
In our materialistic life, we have to understand a materialistic reason behind anything. And this is wrong. This is wrong. From an Islamic perspective, there is something called wisdom, hikmah, and the wisdom is not necessarily to be a tangible materialistic.
Of course.
Okay? Think. It might be a tangible materialistic issue that we understand, it might not be. The issue is, we are commanded to follow Sharia even if we do not see the materialistic benefit out of Sharia.
That's true.
But we should have confidence that anything in Sharia is going to benefit us in the dunya and in the akhirah. I would like to make this clear for our brothers and sisters.
Definitely.
Anything in Sharia, anything you can think of, has benefits in the dunya and in the akhirah. Mm-hmm. There might be just very, very few things that might be related to Allah Jalla wa Ala alone, and they might not be linked to the dunya.
Mm-hmm.
However, other than that, anything in Sharia is not going to harm us in the dunya, or is useless in the dunya.
Of course.
Anything in Sharia gives us so many benefits in the dunya. But the issue is, we might not understand those benefits.
Dr. Hatham, that is so true. Again, I'm using my own experience here. When I reverted to Islam, it didn't make sense to me. As you said, in a material world, we have to have a material logic mind, thinking this is logical. When I reverted to Islam, it did not make sense. I accepted it because my heart was for Allah, but I did not understand. But now it's becoming clear every single day, and this is a great point. So how do you think we can communicate this to the people in the West?
That's why we need to understand more about the philosophy of Sharia.
Yes.
See, we need to understand more about philosophy on Sharia based on Quran and Sunnah.
Mm-hmm.
Not based on what some people wrongly interpret Quran and Sunnah.
Yes.
And we have to wear our own glasses as Muslims.
Definitely.
Not to wear the glasses of the non-Muslim Westerners, because anyway, you are a Westerner, yes, but Muslim. So we are, when we refer to Westerners, yes, not necessarily non-Muslims. Not, so we do not need to wear the glasses of non-Muslim Westerners and look at Sharia from those angles. This is very dangerous.
Yes, I agree.
And wrong. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, so many Muslims these days, whether in the West or in the, even in the East, as we say, because of globalization,
exactly,
are looking to Islam by or through the lenses of what? Non-Muslims.
Exactly.
And that's why they have a distorted understanding of the Islam. Not only this, they won't be able to pass the message of Islam to Westerners, because if we are changing Islam to become a non-Islamic or to fit in a non-Islamic paradigm, then Westerners, they will not see that this is something unique or this is something extra or there is something different in it. So why do they need to endorse it?
Exactly.
But if they see that this is a total, a different paradigm that fits into our nature, is not alien to the nature of human beings, then they will accept it.
Sure.
So, see, we need to know that, as we just said, anything in Sharia is of benefit for us. But we might not understand the immediate benefit now. This is one thing. The main thing is we need to submit to what Allah decides.
Exactly.
And this submission gives the sweetness of al-Iman. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. Allah creates whatever He wants. And He chooses whatever He wants. And it is not up to them to choose. It is not up to them to select. Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned this. And Allah Jalla wa'ala wants to tell, at that time, the people said, why Quran was revealed to Muhammad? Why in particular Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What's different with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Of course, there are so many different things about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but they said this out of jealous.
Yes, of course.
From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they do not want to submit. So they said, why Quran was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Allah jalla wa ala said, it is up to him to create whoever wants. And it is up to Allah Jalla wa Ala to select. This is His creation.
Yes.
And He selects from His creation whatever He wants. Now, it is not arbitrary. It is not arbitrary. There is a wisdom, but that wisdom might not be visible to us.
Exactly.
So, why Allah Jalla wa Ala selected Muhammad? Muhammad is the best of people. But however, Allah Jalla wa Ala has the right to select anyone. And whenever Allah Jalla wa Ala selects anyone, it is the best.
Of course.
Allah Jalla wa Ala will never select something bad and will say to the whole humanity, follow that or do that or stick to that.
Of course.
It is the best. But we might not understand it now. Allah Jalla wa Ala selected Mecca to be the holy place.
SubhanAllah.
Now Mecca al-Mukarrama, is a hot country.
Yes.
It's not a green country.
No.
Agree?
I totally agree with you, Doctor. It's very, very hot.
Okay. So why didn't Allah Jalla wa Ala select a green country in Europe?
This is what He wanted.
This
we
is
never
what
know.
He wanted. We never know.
Exactly.
We have to submit to it.
Exactly.
And not only this, we have to be confident that it is the best of us.
Of course.
It will not harm us. And we have to say that Allah has certain rites, has certain symbols. We have to do them to give those rites to Allah Jalla wa Ala, even if we do not understand them. And they are called the sha'air, the symbols of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Not only this, but we have to be confident that those rites are not going to harm us. So by going to Mecca, it is true that it is hot. We do not understand what's the reason of selecting Mecca, but the question is going to Mecca going to harm you or not? It will not harm you. Okay? Even if it is going to harm you, it will have a bigger benefit.
Exactly.
Allah Jalla wa Ala confirmed that He never created samawat, heavens and earth, la'ibin, arbitrary, for nothing, for wisdom. So when Allah Jalla wa Ala selected the month of Ramadan, which is the ninth lunar year, the ninth lunar month.
Okay.
Why not the seventh?
Exactly.
Why not the third? Why not to have Ramadan moves? So if it is hot, then maybe it is in the middle between summer season and winter season. In the middle, in the spring season. So it will not be difficult for people. Why?
Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. It's an amazing story here, Doctor. I want to pick up on, again, from our own experience, we have to have logic behind everything, and nobody can question Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Exactly.
And when you ask, why does Allah want me to fast in summer? Why is Allah? Only Allah only ever knows best. We don't know anything. We'll never know anything.
لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. No one can question Allah, astaghfirullah.
Of course.
And they will be questioned. But as I said, it was not arbitrary.
Of course.
And it has benefits. We
totally.
Might know them, we might not know them.
No.
So this is the first point, that Ramadan is selected by Allah Jalla wa'ala.
Exactly.
This is the ninth month. And Allah Jalla wa'ala selected that month, and Allah Jalla wa'ala made it special.
SubhanAllah. Well, Doctor, we've pushed on time right now. We're just going to take a short break. However, before that, you're talking about the ninth month. Allah chose the ninth month, and we're just saying that Allah, you know, chooses anything He wants. So it's amazing, Doctor.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for watching. Stay tuned. We'll just take a quick break. Asalaamu Alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. You are honored, O month of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome back to the Philosophy of Fasting. We're joined in the studio today with Dr. Hatem Al-Ad. We're talking about the virtues of fasting in Ramadan. Doctor, before the break, we were talking about the virtues of fasting in Ramadan, specifically the ninth month. Why did Allah choose us? We'll never know. But what is the virtues of fasting in Ramadan?
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. As we said, that Allah Jalla wa ala creates whatever He wants. Allah Jalla wa ala chooses whatever He wants. So Allah Jalla wa ala chose in the month of Ramadan, and Allah Jalla wa ala placed certain virtues in that month.
Mm-hmm.
In this month of Ramadan that we are experiencing now. So, for example, there is a very amazing hadith Wathila ibn al-Asqa, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the scriptures of Ibrahim were revealed in the first night of Ramadan. And the scriptures of Musa, or the Torah, were revealed after 6 days of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Injil was revealed in the 14th night of Ramadan, or on the 13th night of Ramadan.
Okay.
And the Zabur was revealed after 18 nights of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And the Quran was revealed after 24 nights of Ramadan. So all main scriptures were revealed in Ramadan.
Mashallah.
Many people are unaware of this hadith. So the scripture of Ibrahim were revealed, the scriptures of Ibrahim were revealed in the first night of Ramadan. So it means that Allah Jalla wa Ala liked Ramadan from before.
Exactly.
Before Ramadan becomes what? Becomes a month that we fast. I don't want to get into the discussion where, you know, Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, fasting was prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon previous nations.
Yes.
So previous nations used to fast.
Of course.
The question is, Did they use to fast the month of Ramadan, or did they use to fast other months or other ways of fasting?
Mm-hmm.
It is not confirmed. Some people say they used to fast the month of Ramadan. Some people say, no, they used to fast different kind of fasting.
Yes.
But the point is, Ramadan as a month, Allah Jalla wa Ala liked it the most. So that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala sent his main speech. All main books were revealed in Ramadan.
MashaAllah.
So as we said, the scripture of Ibrahim were revealed in the first night of Ramadan. Torah of Musa alayhi salam, and we believe in Torah.
Of course.
Was revealed after 6 days of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
The Injil was revealed after 13 days of Ramadan. And then the Zabur was revealed after 18 days or in the 18th day of Ramadan. And the Quran, which is the best of speech, which is the best of books, which is the seal of all books, as the Prophet ﷺ is the seal of all prophets. Allah nazzala ahsana al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan mathani. Allah revealed the best of his speech, which is the Quran.
Definitely.
So the Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan, which gives Ramadan special what? Special significance.
Of course.
Because it is the time that what? That endorsed the revelation of Allah, the speech of Allah, the wahi of Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Yes.
And all of us know, there are, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We have revealed this book in what? In Laylat al-Qadr. Which is what? Which is the best of all nights throughout the year, and which is located in the month of Ramadan. In Sirat al-Dukhan, Allah Jalla wa Ala says that فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدَنَا, which is what? The night of Ramadan as well. The night of Qadr as well.
Uh-huh.
And of course, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. So Allah Jalla wa Ala honored this month by revealing Qur'an in it. And Allah Jalla wa Ala likes this month the most. And Allah Jalla wa Ala likes in particular the night of Qadr. So this is, you can say, the virtue of Ramadan as a month.
Exactly.
Which is the ninth lunar month.
Of course.
Now, fasting during that month, obviously, will be something significant. And that's why fasting during that month is what is obligatory upon all Muslims who reach the age of puberty and who meet certain conditions.
SubhanAllah.
That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that is known for almost everyone, and it is in a sahihain by Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Not only this, so the translation of this is, the one who fasts Ramadan, the one who fasts the month of Ramadan, believing that this fasting is from Allah. Not only this, but seeking the reward of fasting, he will have all his previous sins wiped out, forgiven, subhanAllah.
Doctor, you know, I just want to pick up on that point. You're mentioning very, you know, great facts here on everything. Your words, you've chosen your words very specifically, touching not only my heart, but the viewers' hearts as well. You're saying, you know, the Quran was sent down as the last book. There's no deviance between the Quran. We can't say, oh, this is incorrect. Everything is self-explanatory. And Allah has given us this time to reflect the month of Ramadan. It's perfect and befitting. And, you know, subhanAllah, all praise is due to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And see, whenever fasting is mentioned, Quran is mentioned. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. And this was mentioned in the middle of the discussion regarding what? Regarding Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's why whenever we remember Ramadan, we need to talk about Quran. And inshallah, exactly. Shortly we will be talking
inshallah.
About Ramadan. Also, you remember the hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said that Quran and fasting, both of them, what? Intercede
yes.
for the person at the day of resurrection.
Inshallah.
And anyway, inshallah, we will come to that. But let us discuss the virtues of fasting
exactly.
in Ramadan in particular.
Yes.
So we said that the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, believing that this is from Allah, either it is an obligation from Allah, and seeking the reward, then Allah jalla wa ala will forgive all his previous sins. Imagine, all previous sins. And then there is the other part of the hadith, and the one who establishes Qiyamul Layl during the month of Ramadan, he will have all his previous sins forgiven. And subhanAllah, look at the third virtue,
yes.
which is very similar to those. The Prophet ﷺ said, and the one who establishes Qiyamul Layl on Laylatul Qadr only, on Laylatul Qadr, Allah Jalla wa Ala will forgive all his previous sins. So, if you miss the first chance, which is what? Not to be forgiven because of fasting Ramadan, uh-huh. don't miss the second chance, which is what? Which is Qiyamul Layl during the whole month of Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
If you miss that chance, then are you going to miss the third chance?
Definitely not.
And that's why there is one amazing hadith that the angel Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ means be humiliated,
uh-huh.
be humiliated, be humiliated. And every time the Prophet ﷺ says, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen.
Uh-huh.
Then the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? Be humiliated and you say, yes, Ameen. Just because of time,
yes.
the Prophet ﷺ said, Jibreel came to me and said to this, this, this. And the last one, be humiliated for that person who lives during the month of Ramadan and he does not have his sins forgiven. It means that this is a person who was not seeking the forgiveness of Allah Jalla wa'ala. You have all these opportunities and still you miss them. What does that mean? It means that you are not running behind those many opportunities.
Of course.
So you are a humiliated person.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Doctor. That's all we have time for right now. Though, you know, I guess this journey today, we found out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. Three opportunities He gives us.
Subhanallah al-Azim.
And all praise to be to Allah.
Amen.
Until next time, I'll leave you in the safe care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran.